Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From WWL Radio New Orleans, HD2, 105.3 FM, it's The Food Show. The Gourmet Cellist is here. It's Dan Lelchuk in the driver's seat. The usual host is gone, but we're going to have a lot of fun. So give me a call, will you? Pick up the phone and dial 504-260-6368. That's 260-6368. And if you don't know the drill, here it is. We're here to talk anything about food. Dining in, dining out, cocktails, wine, new restaurants, old restaurants, anything at all. So just pick up the phone and call 504-260-6368. The last four digits spell the word menu. There's no coincidence there. I tell you, it's getting warmer outside, and that means that a lot of new things are going to be coming down the line soon in terms of the produce. Let's talk tomatoes. A lot of people don't know how to make a good tomato sauce, and I do, because I've studied Italian cooking. I've lived in Italy. I took my first pasta lesson when I was age 3 years old, making gnocchi in the kitchen up in New England from an Italian cook, Margherita, who had come. So I know a thing or two about pasta and about tomato sauce. And I tell you, there are more bad tomato sauces out there than one can imagine. People call it red gravy. People call it tomato sauce. They call it marinara sauce. There's a lot of bad tomato sauce out there. And I tell you, the principal reason for that is because most people cook their tomatoes too long. We have memories of grandma stirring the pot all Sunday for, 24 hours. She's simmering tomatoes. It doesn't need it, folks. Not everybody's grandma was the world's greatest cook, even though we all think that. The fact is, a very quick, easy, delicious tomato sauce is within reach as long as it takes to fill a large pot with water. Boil it, properly cook the pasta, you can have a world-class tomato sauce. So let's just go through it. In the traditional cooking of southern Italy, which is kind of home of the tomato, one uses onion or garlic, not both. So make a choice and go to it. Remember, if you have comments on the tomato sauce I'm talking about, you're more than welcome to call 260-6368. And you'll be routed through the wonderful producer, Mr. Doug Christian, straight to me in a studio overlooking the Mississippi River. You can agree or disagree. We'll talk about something else. In any case, pick onion or garlic. I like 2 to 3 generous cloves of garlic or a quarter of an onion. Very finely chopped. Olive oil generously in the pan, and by this point, you've already put up a large pot of water to boil. And I mean enough so that the pasta can really roam around freely in the water. Plenty of olive oil to coat the pan. Cook on a low heat. You don't want brown onions for your tomato sauce, and you don't want burnt garlic for your tomato sauce. Be a little patient. A low heat, you want blonde onions, okay? Brown onions tend to caramelize and add too much sweetness, and we don't need that in this dish. It's not a sweet dish. It's not dessert. Blonde onions is the Neapolitan tradition of cooking tomato sauce. I'd like a 28-ounce can of tomatoes if they're not in season. I tend to buy whole tomatoes, actually, instead of already crushed or already cubed or pureed tomatoes. Whole tomatoes tend to have the highest quality. Then I break them up myself, and I can also choose what kind of size I want. They do tend to use a lower grade tomato for the already crushed tomatoes, and they leave the best ones for the cans that they sell as whole tomatoes. Put in the can of tomatoes after you've really nicely gotten the flavors going between the olive oil and the garlic or onion. And I say or because that really is the southern Italian tradition. Cook slowly. on whatever heat you have it. When the water's boiling for the pasta, a lot of salt. My dear friend Anna Menard, who's been on here a lot, who's one of the favorite guests on the entire food show, always says that the water really should be as salty as seawater. Put in the pasta, stir it frequently. I tend to cover the pot of pasta for the first few minutes of cooking to really make sure the temperature is super high in the water, because obviously it goes down quite quickly when you add the pasta. Heavily salted water. You're stirring gently the tomatoes on the side. It doesn't need anything more than salt. Onion or garlic. Olive oil. Please use a good olive oil. How do you know it's good? Well, you taste it without anything else. You taste it. Put a drop on your finger, put a drop in a spoon, dip some bread in it. You need to know what the olive oil tastes like before you're cooking with it, as with any ingredient, hopefully. That's it. Sea salt to taste. Often I do add crushed red pepper, a little bit, just to give it a bit of a kick, and especially around New Orleans, we love that. Bit of a kick there. If I'm adding a dried herb, I do oregano. This is a kind of a Roman addition, a classic Roman addition of the central Italian school. Rome is in the province of Lazio, remember, which also has the town of Amatrice, where the great Amatriciana was born, which is a very spicy tomato sauce with guanciale or pancetta, a cured pork jowl. It's pretty easy to get around here. In any case, when the pasta is al dente, meaning it has still a bit of a bite to it, there's nothing worse than mushy pasta. Actually, maybe bad tomato sauce is worse than mushy pasta. I don't know. I haven't had either in a while because I tell you, I do tend to avoid eating pasta out in restaurants generally, even in New York, because it's often terrible. There's so many bad pastas around. They say there's many ways to skin a cat. Well, there's a lot of ways to ruin pasta. One thing I run into frequently, by the way, is that you get a plate and there's pasta on it, and then there's a sauce on top of it, and there's this kind of weird pool of watery sauce underneath the pasta. Okay, well, it may look good when it leaves the kitchen, but by the time that dish gets to the table, the sauce is sort of dripped down through the water in the pasta a little bit and created this pool that's incredibly unappetizing at the bottom of the plate. Not a good way to serve pasta. The best thing to do is to, now going back to the tomato sauce, so you've drained the pasta, don't need to shake out too much of the water, just make sure it's not dripping with water, and then you'll have hopefully made the sauce in a pot large enough to take all of that pasta. And you dump it in and you stir like crazy. I mean, really stir, because you need to create an amalgamation here of the sauce and the starch in the pasta water to thicken it up and really create a homogeneous sauce that coats the pasta properly. This is the way to properly dress pasta. You don't put the pasta on a plate after draining it and pour the sauce on top of it. You'll run into problems immediately. Let's all try to avoid bad tomato sauce, if you have thoughts on that. Or anything else related to food, pick up the phone and dial the following digits, 504-260-6368, 260-6368. It's Dan Lelchuk, the gourmet cellist, which means what? Well, it means I am a concert cellist. I really play the cello. Everybody's favorite instrument, from what I hear walking around the street. People stop me in the stores and on the street, and when I'm traveling, they say, you know what? The cello is really my favorite instrument. And I say, me too. And the gourmet part just comes from me aspiring to be a gourmet. And we all can. It doesn't mean you have to spend $1 million on every meal. It means that you have to care about what you're eating. And then you're a gourmet automatically. Now, Tom Fitzmaurice came up with the name the gourmet cellist and kind of stuck, so I think it's good. But in any case, give me a call and talk about anything at all having to do with food, dining out. I'm wondering about the new restaurants you've been to, because I have a new restaurant that I went to recently. It was mixed. It was quite mixed. What we did do before that was wonderful. I had a friend visiting town from the Midwest, major foodie, been traveling for 20 years, eating at the finest restaurants and all over the world. He comes to New Orleans occasionally. I said, okay, so we'll go to Commander's. So we had a great, great, great lunch at Commander's. I said, what about Arno's? So came back down here, walked into the French Quarter, and we went to the bar at Arno's. Great. That place can do no wrong, in my opinion. Interestingly enough, he was getting vodka martinis. Get this, vodka martinis with no vermouth, with just a lime twist. So it's basically a vodka soda minus the ice minus the soda. And they were great. They were really great. I do mine just a touch of vermouth and some olives. Super cold. Really, the colder the better. In any case, so we were at Arno's, and we had some great stuff to drink and great conversations. And then I said, hey, you know that this new restaurant right down the street called Justine. It's funny, actually. I'm looking at a receipt from Justine right now that happens to be sitting on the table in the studio. So someone went there recently. I hope they had a better time than I did. So in any case, because we always say that restaurant reports have to be honest. You don't go out to skewer somebody, but not everybody does an angelic service either. So this show's big on honesty. So I went to Justine with two other friends. We went to sit at the bar, and I got to say it was mixed. It was quite mixed. It was a good time to go. It was Sunday evening, mildly crowded, and we wanted dinner. We wanted drinks and dinner. And I tell you, the person who was working at that bar made us feel like to be able to order something, we should be down on all fours begging. And that was a little strange. It was so... Well, of course, you can laugh in retrospect. So we sit down and we kind of look around and wonder, any menus here? Or do we have to kind of figure this out by telepathy? Or what's going on here? So we're sitting at Justine, which is a new restaurant open on Charter Street in the French Quarter. And finally, two menus and two wine lists are kind of shoved at us across the bar from the person working on that side of the bar. We look at each other, we say, but wait a minute, we're three people. How come we only got two menus? Okay. Hey, you have another menu? No, we ran out. Okay. Okay, so let me get this straight. You can run out of food. I've heard of that. The restaurant's half full and you've run out of menus. And we're three people, and all you can scrounge up is two menus. Okay, so we're sort of looking at each other awkwardly. Who's going to share with whom? Because I find it a little weird that I'm about to spend a few hundred dollars at this restaurant, and I have to sort of use a magnifying glass to see the menu of someone next to me. And there was no apology or anything. Oh, we don't have more menus. Okay. Like, we don't have any more vodka. Okay. So should we leave? So finally they scrounged up another menu. So imagine this. Three people have three menus. Yeah, it sounds groundbreaking, right? So we're looking at the menus and we decide, okay, we're gonna have another vodka martini. So it took about 5 to 6 minutes to be able to order this drink. We're looking around going, do we really need to, write a letter of asking to be able to order this? Should we send emissaries beforehand to beg this restaurant to serve us? We were wearing sport coats and good shoes, and half the people in there were in T-shirts and, flip-flops. So are we in the wrong place? Now, there's a lot more detail to talk about, but this is, for everybody who missed it, we're talking about Justine, J-U-S-T-I-N-E, a new restaurant in the French Quarter that opened on Charter Street. This is the food show, in case you didn't notice, on 105.3 FM HD2. It's the gourmet cellist here. Why don't you give me a call, will you, and weigh in on tomato sauce or bad restaurant experiences. I guess there's a lot I want to complain about today, but that's all right. 260-6368. WWL will return in a flash. On the food show, WWL Radio New Orleans, it's the gourmet cellist here, Dan Lelchuk. Give me a call, will you? 260-6368. I know you're listening. Why don't you just pick up and call? It's pretty easy to do. We all know how to do it. 504-260-6368. Talk about anything from bad restaurant experiences to bad tomato sauce to anything else, including mushy pasta. We love to talk about that. Again, it's 260-6368, the food show with the gourmet cellist here. Let's see here. We were at Justine, the newly opened restaurant in the French Quarter, and I got some problems with that place. So we're back there. We're begging for a menu. In case you didn't hear, we were three people. We were originally given two menus. We're begging for the menus, and we're begging to order a drink. It's sort of like, I thought of this like if the cop pulls you over and he gives you a ticket, and you look at the ticket, see the amount, a few $100, you say, you know what? It's not enough. I think I deserve worse. Give me a bigger ticket, will you? $250? I want $500. So that's what I felt at Justine. So I was kind of begging them to, I don't know, pour me a drink. I mean, God forbid. In any case, great oysters. Straight from New England, these were Wellfleet oysters. Although they didn't prepare them at Justine, they just brought them over. But they were terrific. And it's nice to see a variety of oysters on menus because too often we get the idea around here that the only oysters available are local oysters. They're good, but there's a lot of good oysters elsewhere, too. I got problems with oysters around here sometimes. They're not briny enough, so... In any case, we're back at Justine. We do the oysters, and me and one of my friends order the Justine burger, which is described as grilled peppercorn-crusted patty, brioche bun, emmentaler, arugula, frites. Add foie gras torchon for $15, and we absolutely did that. And I tell you, give credit where credit's due, the burger was really, really, really good. Great. With the foie gras torchon supplement, of $15, which is a very reasonable, really, very, very reasonable for foie gras. You go to Revolution, you'll pay triple that for a torchon of foie gras. And that's a great restaurant, by the way. Speaking of which, one of my favorite things to do, because to go in the dining room at Revolution, this is in the Royal Sonesta Hotel on Bourbon Street, one of my favorite things to do is go in Revolution. You don't need to get really dressed up to sit at the bar. Sit at the bar, order a burger, or order a gumbo. I think it's the best gumbo in the entire city. I haven't had yours, though. if yours is better, you should call and tell me about it at 260-6368. But it's pretty darn good over at Revolution. So I get a gumbo, maybe a turtle soup if I'm feeling kind of indulgent. They serve the turtle soup, by the way, with these great deviled eggs. And that's kind of a fun thing to do. Go over there, get a drink, get a bowl of gumbo or a bowl of turtle soup. But in any case, we were going back to, I just got kind of a foie gras tangent. How can you blame me? But the third friend of mine orders the poulet pané. So this is described on the Justine menu. In case you're just joining us, by the way, this is a description of a recent dinner I had at Justine sitting at the bar. Where we were treated like fifth-class citizens. Not first, not second, not third, not even fourth, but fifth. Fifth-class citizens. You ever had that experience? It's pretty rough. Poulet pané, described as duck fat fried chicken paillard, frisé salad, lemon, and remoulade. Okay, I thought maybe my friend should have gotten a duck confit or a grilled yellowfin tuna or a trout. But okay, so we ordered the duck fat fried chicken. So this was extremely dry. It was a thin, heavily breaded, extremely dry piece of fried chicken. He mentioned something about it being dry. And at that point, the bartender interjects, well, it's fried in duck fat. And I sort of look at my two friends and I say, well, that's sort of immaterial to the point. The point is it's dry. Fried in duck fat or horse fat, it's still dry. And so look like that's her only contribution so far to this whole interaction is her saying it's fried in duck fat, which we actually knew because we read the menu, believe it or not. So this person who we first had to beg for menus, then we had to beg for drinks, then we had to beg for, you know, pretty much everything under the sun. Did we have to beg for forks and napkins? Maybe. She looks over, she goes, it's fried in duck fat. Okay, we couldn't read. It's good to know. It was a very dry chicken, I'm sorry to say. Extremely thin, kind of meager portion. I've had this dish a lot in bistros everywhere from New York to Paris to Berlin to New Orleans, and it's been great. This was extremely dry. You needed so much remoulade to eat this chicken. You felt like you were eating a completely mayonnaise-based dish. You had to really slather it in remoulade. And I couldn't understand why. And the thing is, we have to be honest when it comes to food. Because we all know this is a great food town. But we all know there's a lot of competition. We all know there's many other great food towns. And the truth is, when something's not good, you got to call it out. That's what has always been the mantra on this show. And it's always been my personal mantra that you have to really be tough. And if it isn't good, you got to admit it. You got to admit it. So people get on the high horse about brand names and all this stuff and, you know, the hype and the publicity and everything about a restaurant opening and the chef and all that. But the truth is, the food has to taste good. And this chicken was extremely disappointing. It was... Again, at the restaurant Justine, Charter Street in the French Quarter. And it was a sad occasion to eat such a dry chicken. In any case, that's a kind of a negative restaurant report, but a true one. I hope you'll call and talk to me about other restaurant reports that you have. It's pretty easy to do. You pick up the phone, you dial 504-260-6368, 260- menu.
Now, while we're waiting for our first call here, and I have a question because I have a problem that you probably could answer. It is with the tomato sauce.
Yeah.
Now, there is a point in there where you use the water, the starch in the water,
yeah,
to thicken the sauce. That has always been difficult. I don't know why, but it's difficult. How much water do you put in there for how much sauce? What do you do?
Here's what you do. The best thing to do is to, when you're making a tomato sauce, just drain the pasta, but don't shake it like crazy in the colander to get all the water out. Okay, you don't need to shake it like crazy. Just drain it, and if it has a little bit of water still dripping out, that's enough. You dump that in, and then you turn the heat up to high in the sauce so anything will go away in terms of extra water. If you're making a different kind of sauce, sometimes you want a little more water. But with the tomato sauce, you drain it normally and just give it a few shakes. And the remaining water that's on the pasta will be enough to emulsify that into a top-class sauce. With that being said, we're going to John, who's calling on line one. Welcome to the food show.
Hey, I'm so happy to get the opportunity to talk to you. I just wanted to tell you a story about when I went to Mr. B's last week. Their barbecue shrimp is unbelievable, but I do have to warn you that I lost my wedding ring because the sauce was just up to my elbows. And so I was like, where's my wedding ring? I couldn't find it. And then I did call back and they're like, yes, our linens department actually found it, but they are out of town, so they're going to have to send it back. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Mr. B's and thank them for their generosity returning my ring.
That's amazing. So you lost the ring in the that's a kind of super buttery, super peppery sauce that they call barbecue shrimp.
Right.
that's really
fun.
It was
one of the best meals I've ever had. So.
Oh, it's wonderful. That's a great dish. I have a friend who just went there, and he said he eats the shrimp with the tail, shells, and all, and he said it's too good. He can't give it up.
Oh, I know. It was just, there was a waiting list to get in. I mean, it was packed, but.
Yeah, they're packed all the time, yeah.
You know, and they provide bibs, so, you know, if you're going to get that. But just make sure you have your ring fitted properly. Otherwise,
Unless you want to lose it. No, I'm kidding.
unless you want to lose it. Yeah.
No. So I know a few people like that, but most people would rather hang on to the rings. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to share that, and I highly recommend the place.
Yeah, that's a good recommendation. Yeah. Any other good food you had recently, John?
Let's see. You know, there's a restaurant on, it's uptown, and I can't remember the name, it'll come to me. But, I mean, you know, these restaurants in the city are just, you know, unmatched, so.
Oh, yeah. And Mr. B's is a good recommendation, and we often forget about it because there's so many new places that open. You know, it's good to remember.
I took the family to the Kenner Casino Treasure Chest, and they have, for $17 a person, you can get quality food, New Orleans cuisine.
Is that a buffet they have over there, or do you order?
It's a buffet. Now, I will have to say, I think they changed management, and because I've been there over the years, and it's, you know, honestly, I think it's not as great, but you know, I'll go back and give them another chance, but somehow, you know, that transition might have affected the quality.
Yeah, that happens a lot, actually. Yeah, that there was actually someone told me recently that they weren't liking Felipe's as much as they used to because they had changed management, a few things about the kitchen. Could be rumors, but it could be true. But you know, it's funny. You really know when a restaurant has changed something. You know, if you go and you know what it's supposed to taste like, you know when there's something off, right?
right. And, you know, maybe they're just trying to save a buck on lower quality food. But, it was still an enjoyable meal. And for the price, I think it's fine. But I did notice that.
Yeah, 17 is pretty. You have to gamble to go there? Or can you just go there and eat?
No, you don't have to gamble, and you can bring your kids. Kind of a hidden gem because, you know, most people don't know about it. They'll go to Golden Corral, which is probably about the same price.
Never been there either.
I wouldn't recommend Golden Corral, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Bring your stomach bring your, you know, Pepto-Bismol.
All right. There, but I'm
right around the corner is the casino, and you get a good buffet. Different management, but still good.
All right. And John, remember, it's pronounced buffet unless it's bad, in which case it's buffet. Boo!
Oh, okay. All right. Great talking to you.
Yeah. See you. Thanks for the call. Food Show will continue momentarily. Give me a call, will you? 260-6368, 105.3 FM, HD2, WWL. It's The Gourmet Cellist. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Food Show, WWL Radio. It's the Gourmet Cellist, Dan Lelchuk, sitting in the driver's seat today. Give me a call, will you? 260-6368, 504-260-6368. We just had a good call about buffets, or if it's bad, a buffet. If it's good, it's a buffet, and they're usually bad. Interesting call about the buffet over at the casino in Kenner. I don't gamble myself, but I love to hang out in casinos because there's sometimes really funny characters, and I sometimes just go and sip a drink on the side and go with a friend of mine from work or something and watch them either win money or lose money. Either way, I get a drink for free and meet some real characters. So maybe I'll head over to the Treasure Chest in what's right on the lake there in Kenner, because apparently for $17... This is not an advertisement. It's reporting facts from the last call. For $17, you get all you can eat, New Orleans cuisine. But be warned, they may have changed management recently. Because the last caller, John, reported to us a few things tasted different than the last time he was there. And when you know there's been a change in the management of a restaurant kitchen, you really know. That's all I'll say about that. Give me a call and talk about buffets or bad pasta. 260-6368. How do you know if pasta's bad? Because a lot of people they say, well, taste this. It's wonderful. I taste it. It's terrible. And I know pasta. I've been studying pasta making since I was 3 years old. Went to high school in Rome. First of all, if it's mushy and soft, it's bad. If you order gnocchi and it's gummy, it's bad. If there's a big pool of water under the pasta, it's really bad. So we had an interesting question before from the ever-querying producer, Mr. Doug Christian, and he was saying, well, how do I do this whole pasta water thing? And it's actually a good question because we hear on cooking shows and we read in recipes all the time, add pasta water. Okay, well, if we don't really know how to do that, then we need some extra guidance. So adding pasta water can be anything from not fully draining the pasta to actually taking a ladle while the pasta is cooking and ladling in boiling, salted, starchy water directly into the pan of sauce, which is next to the pasta vessel where it's cooking. One of my favorite things to do, I've been doing a lot of this lately. You're not even going to believe this dish, but it's one of my favorite dishes. I buy, this is not something you do with fresh pasta, by the way. You do with a good quality boxed pasta. I've actually become very partial to the whole food brand of pasta. But otherwise, De Checco is very good. If you want to go a little upmarket, there's a wonderful store downtown on Howard Avenue, Kaife, K-E-I-F-E, Kaife. And they carry this brand of pasta that's really tremendous. It's Faella, F-A-E-L-L-A, Faella. And this pasta is, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinarily expensive, too. I'm just warning you. But if you buy a pan of Faella pasta, I'm telling you, you will notice a difference. It's extruded in the old tradition using bronze extruding mechanisms. It's dried under the brutal hot sun of central Italy, sometimes even southern Italy. And sent right over here to Howard Avenue. Well, there's a few stops in between. but Faella, F-A-E-L-L-E, it's a great pasta brand. But in any case, so this dish that I've been doing a lot, it was a kind of a classic Roman preparation. You know, Roman food is very simple and really more than the sum of its parts, if you know what I mean. Meaning that you look at the list of ingredients and you think, well, okay, that looks fine. It's kind of nothing. A few ingredients, three, four, five ingredients. You make the dish properly, you taste it, and you think to yourself, this is the best gosh darn pasta dish I've had in my entire life. And it happens all the time when I make this, which you do the following way. You take a lot of water boiling, plenty of salt, as we've gone over, put in a pound of pasta. Right when you do that, you put as much broccoli as you'd like. I take two, maybe even three heads of broccoli. I break off the florets. I put them in a big bowl in cold tap water. Let them sit there for about 5-6 minutes. About 3-4 minutes before the pasta's done, you drain the broccoli out of that cold water it's been sitting in. You can rinse it once or twice in case it's dirty or something. You pour the broccoli into the same pot where the pasta's been cooking. Let it cook until the pasta's done. That's going to be another, as I said, 3-4 minutes. By that time, the broccoli will be perfectly cooked, perfectly tender with a bit of a bite to it when you stick a knife through it. You drain it all together. You then have a big bowl waiting to be tossed with a lot of olive oil, really good olive oil, good amount of crushed red pepper, Parmesan cheese, freshly grated, Parmigiano Reggiano. Not a fake imitation, not an Argentinian Parmesan, a real Italian Parmesan from Parma, which is the home of Parmesan cheese, believe it or not. You toss it vigorously really vigorously. So you have now cooked a pound of pasta, 2-3 heads of broccoli, the florets. You're tossing it together with a lot of olive oil, a good amount of Parmesan cheese, and crushed red pepper. You toss it together like crazy, and you have a great, great, very nutritious pasta meal that even the kids will like. And if they don't, then make them a tomato sauce. Or order Domino's. If they don't like it, then keep serving it to them, and they'll grow to like it. It's a wonderful dish, and incredibly healthy, actually. That's something I do a lot. If you want to talk about pasta, restaurants, wine, cocktail, dining in, dining out, cookbooks, food traditions, anything like that, give me a call, will you? 504-260-6368. 504-260-6368. It's the Gourmet Cellist here. And I was actually looking through this book that's in the studio here. Really fascinating book because, as you know, there's a lot of food, diet trends happening, as there always have been. But I think with the internet and social media, a lot of these things spread faster. So obviously, there's nothing new or groundbreaking about being vegan. But I'm looking at this book called Mississippi Vegan, Recipes and Stories from a Southern Boy's Heart by Timothy Pecron. And I got to say, the book looks terrific. I was just browsing through some of the recipes and have the book right here. It really doesn't look like a vegan cookbook. It just looks like a good cookbook to me. How's this? Golden garlic biscuits. God, that sounds pretty good to me. It doesn't sound very vegan. Blueberry pecan muffins. We're going to miss the butter, but obviously it's an animal product, but we'll find it, the richness made up in other ways. So I'm kind of fascinated by this book. Again, it's called Mississippi Vegan, Recipes and Stories from a Southern Boy's Heart. If you're a vegan, call me. I have a lot of friends who are vegans. I guess they don't want to call me. but give me a call if you're a vegan and talk to me about the how and the why. All you do is call 260-6368, 260-MENU, and I'd love to talk to you about why you're vegan and how you do it. I do think that of the vegetarian diet is something I could probably get on board with. A vegan diet, I don't know. I think that's I would have issues with that. I'm missing the cheese and the butter. Frankly, a steak now and then. Speaking of steak, I go occasionally to this restaurant you may have heard of in the French Quarter called Dory Metropolitan. It's a steakhouse basically across the street from St. Louis Cathedral. It is marvelous. Marvelous. Every time I go, it seems to get better and better, which I hope will happen to Justine, by the way, because when I went a few nights ago, boy, they got to get their stuff together. They really do. I know it's a new restaurant, but oh my God, this chicken was so dry. The way we had to beg for menus, the way we had to beg for drinks, unbelievable. Dory Metropolitan has it down. They also have the food down. So this is it's amusing to think about. But I went with a friend of mine who's a lawyer from Mississippi who comes down every weekend, has a place in the French Quarter, and it's a big steak guy. So we go out to Dory Metropolitan, and we like sitting at the bar. And I think it's fun to sit at the bar. You have a little more banter with the bartender, and you get to know the customers around you. And, you know, when you run into me at a restaurant, you'll say, I'm very social. I always want to talk to people and meet people and just ask them, what are you eating? What do you like these days? You know, let's have a drink together, whatever. So he says to his friend who's working at the bar, I want something on fire. Bring me something on fire. Okay. So the guy goes, your wish is my command. And so he comes out maybe 15, 20 minutes later with a big platter. Fresh rosemary sticks and twigs and all of this on fire around the meat. And then what meat was it? It was great Colorado lamb chops. It was a roast pork, and it was an enormous porterhouse. Unbelievable platter of meat. Obviously, we couldn't finish it, but this was one of the great experiences. And sometimes you have to order with abandon. I think we get into these habits, and we get complacent. But I tell you, this was one of the great, great dinners. Again, if Justine could be half that good, I would say it would be worth going to. But again, the burger at Justine was great, so we always give credit where credit's due. And the oysters were wonderful from Massachusetts. Wellfleet is actually a city in Cape Cod, which is a peninsula off the coast of Massachusetts, about an hour and a half from Boston, which is getting into my neck of the woods where I'm from. But it doesn't really matter where you're from, because if you have taste buds, you appreciate food everywhere. I'll get into some of my food adventures on a recent journey I had to Asia. I was there playing concerts. I was there for about 3.5 weeks in January. Had a great time. And, you know, the fact is, everybody, when they travel, thinks that they have to eat X, Y, or Z. But you really need to go with the flow. You know, it's one of my rules about traveling, that if you think you have to do this list of things every day, you're not getting your money, your time's worth. You got to reconsider what you're doing, because we travel, we eat for experiences. We do it to learn more about people, about other cultures, and we do it for our own enjoyment. So if you make a vacation and you're going to Rome and you say, okay, I have to see the Spanish Steps, the Colosseum, the Pantheon, and you tack on the Vatican, a few other places, well, when are you going to eat a quality meal there? Then you end up in a tourist trap having bad pizza or bad pasta, which does exist in Rome, by the way. And you'll go to bed thinking, God, the food here sucks. Can I say that on the radio? Yeah, apparently I can. And so take it easy with the sights. Take it easy with the foods and the restaurants, because if you slow down and you talk to the local people, you're going to end up with better experiences. This is what I do when I travel. I talk to locals. I pull a guy or gal aside on the street and say, hey, what's your favorite restaurant around here? That's it. You don't need to be glued to websites or guidebooks. You talk to people, because that's how we really experience a place, is when we're interacting with the people. And people ask me here in Nola, what do you really like? And I tell them where I like. For example, Pesh is a place I go to a lot. It's always great. Seaworthy, always great. And with the bar at Arno's, always great. You got to be honest with these people, and you have to have real person-to-person interaction. To me, that's where the magic happens when you travel. So in the next hour, when we get into my Asia travels, for example, there was a great, great Michelin-starred roast goose that I consumed in Hong Kong. And I ate it on the street in a park with a friend of mine. This was one of the great things, but how did we know about it? We asked people. And if you're afraid to talk to strangers, afraid to pull someone aside on the street and say, hey, that sandwich looks good, where'd you get that? Then you're missing out on a lot, because interacting with people in a foreign place is crucial to understanding how they live. And that really brings things closer to home. You know, when you walk through the marketplace and you see the live fish and the array of produce, and you say, God, those greens really look good. What are those? I don't speak a word of Chinese, and a lot of those people don't speak. Actually, no, that's not true. I do speak a few words, but not enough. And most of those people at the market in Hong Kong didn't speak English, but we could interact anyway. That's the whole point. So it's pretty interesting when you travel to just look around and ask questions and not be glued to Yelp or Instagram or something like that. By the way, I'm Gourmet Cellist on Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, if you want to interact with me there, Gourmet Cellist, GourmetCellist. We can talk on Instagram and talk about food and recipes, and we can do that here too. If you call, 504-260-6368. The hour's winding down, but we have another hour coming up pretty soon, and just after the news. So why don't you give me a call, 260-6368, and talk to me about bad pasta or good pasta, bad or good restaurants you've been to recently, and what you're going to do with the great tomatoes that we're going to have. It's almost the time where we'll be getting the Creole tomatoes, which are, I've asked a lot of food experts, I said, what are Creole tomatoes? They said they're good tomatoes that are locally grown. I said, does anything make them Creole? He said, no, they're just from here. Okay. In any case, they are very good. A lot of things to do with fresh tomatoes, tarts, sauces. Give me a call, will you? After the news, 260-6368, 504-260-6368, 105.3 FM HD2, and WWL.com. It's the one and only The Food Show with the one and only the gourmet cellist, Dan Lelchuk. Back in a flash.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.